With Arkansas schools closed because of the coronavirus outbreak, education officials in Arkansas PBS are working to bring lessons to students' homes. In the first of two reports, KUAR's Michael Hiblin has more on how the program began.
It's called Alternative Methods of Instruction, or AMI.
Good morning, all you parents and students of Arkansas. I'm Randy House, and I'm a kindergarten teacher. I'm so excited you're joining me for another fun week of learning with Arkansas AMI.
House was the state's 2018 Teacher of the Year and works for the Conway School District. She and four other teachers who have been given the award in recent years host segments seen online and on television.
We have a great lineup of programs for you. And we even have a brand new math game from our math whiz, Joel Lookadoo.
This is the sixth week for the program, which was designed to keep students engaged while they can't be in the classroom. Governor Asa Hutchinson ordered schools closed beginning March 17th. The AMI programming on Arkansas PBS started about 2 weeks later on the 30th. Heather Rhodes Newburn of North Little Rock is the mother of pre-K and second grade students. She says the time before the broadcasts began was a challenge.
My pre-K's assignment was very hands-on, and so working from home and being very hands-on has been a juggling act with his work, just because he's not reading all the way by himself, so you have to read the book to him, you have to sort with him. And so for that, I mean, I enjoyed it. We enjoyed the time, but it took some finagling of my schedule. And now my daughter, second grader, her assignments, the paperwork was a lot. And so when I found out about the PBS program, my sister is a teacher, and she told me about it. And so I was like, well, we'll turn it on and we'll see how it goes.
She was glad the programming was offered on broadcast TV in addition to being online.
Here at my house, we have internet connectivity issues. And so sometimes the internet's working and sometimes it's not. And so that can be very frustrating when they're required to log in to the online reading system for our school district. And so PBS was a good way to engage both of them.
Arkansas PBS already aired national educational programs during the day, but Executive Director Courtney Pledger says she and her staff wanted to do more, inspired partly by what had been done by public broadcasters in California, which was impacted by the virus about 6 weeks before Arkansas.
And we began to discuss ways of innovating that original model and making it more personal for Arkansas. And at that point, you know, we had gone to the Division of Elementary and Secondary Education and talked about the potential, and to their credit, they just, you know, leapt on the idea of developing something, and we collaborated on what it might look like and came up with a model that would be more personal, more engaging for kids by actually putting teachers on the air.
Each weekday, 5 hours of programming is aired, gearing toward pre-K to eighth grade students. Stacy Smith is Assistant Commissioner of Learning Services at the Arkansas Department of Education and helped organize the project.
It was a huge task. First off, I mean, Arkansas PBS reached out to us and basically said, hey, look, if there's a way that we can be of assistance, we want to be. And we were able to sit down and look at, you know, what were the programming options that they had to offer. So my staff at that point, we started writing, we're calling them learning opportunities by grade band.
When the virus first spread into Arkansas, students were sent home with packets of educational material originally designed for short-term challenges like snow days. But the printed material quickly ran out, and Smith says presenting material online didn't work for everyone.
We found that a lot of the state didn't have internet access to be able to access what their schools were trying to provide digitally. And we knew that a lot of districts were also sending home lots of paper packets, and there was some inconsistency. So this was an effort by the state and Arkansas PBS to collaborate, kind of provide some support for students, families, and schools.
Federal data shows that as of 2018, 23% of Arkansas households did not have internet service. but with several broadcast signals. Arkansas PBS provides coverage to about 75% of the state. In recent weeks, cable companies in the border cities of Texarkana and West Memphis also added the station to help expand its reach. Deciding what to broadcast took several rounds of back and forth, says Sajni Kampuras, Assistant Director of Education at Arkansas PBS.
We came up with this kind of format of how we were going to make this work. And fortunately, at Arkansas PBS, we have Arkansas licensed teachers on staff. So they were able to take that first phase of looking at our programs, the content of them, very meticulously to see what was appropriate for each of the grade bands. And from there, we passed what we thought would work over to the Department of Education, where they had their own educators do a second review. And then there was a third review from Stacy Smith with the Division of Elementary and Secondary Education to really make sure that we were very thoughtful and we thought about all the things that were relevant to actually the standards of learning and that there would be learning outcomes from this.
Stacy Smith with the Department of Education acknowledges that despite their best efforts with the AMI program, nothing can replicate the classroom experience.
This doesn't replace what students are missing with the face-to-face, but it does give them something. We want to be able to support families and school districts who are trying to continue this pace of learning, even though the physical building of a school is closed. And you still have teachers. They're making phone calls to parents. They may still possibly even be doing a Zoom lesson of their own, but maybe that lesson is highlighting maybe a real specific skill that the teacher needs to teach and not the parent, where the parent then is helping do reinforcement. And really, we want kids to continue to read, continue to write, continue to communicate, and continue to think critically. And that's what the learning opportunities on the PBS and Arkansas AMI guides really provide for parents.
Coming up tomorrow, a look at what might be in store in the future for alternative methods of instruction and where students may stand academically if and when schools reopen in the fall. Michael Heplin, KUAR News.
This is All Things Considered on KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Brain. 6 weeks into a program designed to fill the educational void while schools in Arkansas are closed because of the coronavirus outbreak, educators are assessing its effectiveness. Yesterday, KYR's Michael Heplin reported on alternative methods of instruction, or AMI, and how it works. Today, he has the thoughts of educators involved in the program or observing it.
Hello, dear, sweet, beautiful, brilliant students of Arkansas. I'm Stacey McAdoo, and I am truly honored to have another opportunity to spend some more time with all of you 6th, 7th, and 8th graders for Arkansas AMI.
Stacey McAdoo is one of five teachers who host AMI segments, mixing locally produced material with carefully selected content from PBS.
There are a lot of farms in Arkansas. The natural state farms a little bit of everything. What I love about living so close to so many farms is that I never forget where my food comes from.
For 17 years, McAdoo has taught at Little Rock Central High School, but last year was named Arkansas's Teacher of the Year. That brought her out of the classroom for what she calls a year of service, visiting other schools and providing professional development for teachers. She and four other Arkansas Teachers of the Year were asked to host segments, which are broadcast by Arkansas PBS and can be streamed online. McAdoo says the material is chosen by the TV station in consultation with the Arkansas Department of Education.
It is then up to me to kind of take what they have written and I try to add myself to it, if that makes any sense. So, for instance, one of my common phrases that I say in my classroom is I always greet my students by saying, hello, dear, sweet, beautiful, brilliant student. So I felt like it was very important for me to start each of my segments with my signature or standard phrase because I wanted the segments to feel as warm and inviting and as close to allowing the students or the viewers to see who I am normally as possible. So even though I am not delivering any instruction, I wanted them to be able to see and feel my love for all of them, whoever they are, because as a teacher, I love students. I love young people. And I hope that comes across when not just me, but when all of us are on there.
And she's glad the lessons are being broadcast in addition to being online.
I knew that in my community with my students, there were a lot of my students who would not have access to internet or devices at home. I also knew that prior to this year, we utilized public access channels for our school board meetings to advertise them. And we also did some other things on there. So I immediately thought about using public access channel to help show instruction to students. Now, what exactly that programming was going to look like, I had no idea.
But as she was having those thoughts when Arkansas school buildings were being shut down because of the outbreak, Arkansas PBS had approached the Department of Education to see if it was interested in partnering. It has 6 broadcast signals around Arkansas, providing reliable coverage to about 3/4 of the state. Some in higher education who are not involved in the Alternative Methods of Instruction program are watching the process carefully. Dr. Victoria Grove Scott is dean of the University of Central Arkansas's College of Education, which trains future teachers.
Fortunately, Arkansas had the AMI in place prior to the pandemic because we're much farther ahead than a lot of states that didn't have anything in place. So we had this system in place where we had packets that were built up that we planned to send home and virtual learning environments for snow days and inclement weather and those kinds of situations. But there are other states that have nothing in place. And so those children and teachers have been struggling. People I know all across the United States, they haven't even had contact with their students because they didn't have a mailing list and packets weren't put together and there was no approved virtual platform. So we're sitting really good in that situation.
But Dr. Grove Scott says there are limitations to the AMI program.
We do have this point where a lot of the AMI is not teaching a new skill. We're just reinforcing and we're reviewing content that was previously taught because it's very, very difficult to teach a new skill, especially a complex skill, virtually. And for the younger children, that is particularly difficult. So if you're introducing long division, that's hard to do through a virtual format. And even in the high school level, if you're teaching advanced chemistry, then you've got things like labs that you can't do virtually, and that causes difficulty for the children and for the teachers to be able to reliably offer that content in a virtual format. So those are some concerns that we have, and especially concerns about children that have disabilities. So children with special needs have a lot of time, a lot of difficulty and need a lot of one-on-one contact, and so virtual learning environments are definitely not the best for our younger children and for our children with disabilities.
Another collegiate official, not involved, but observing Arkansas AMI, is Dr. Kimberly Crosby, Director of Teacher Education at Lyon College in Batesville. She agrees there are unavoidable limitations compared to the traditional classroom setting.
There's no way to replace a well-trained teacher in terms of providing education to students. And I think that the teachers are feeling it as well as the students. I follow some teaching social media accounts, and teachers are working double hard to try to provide quality learning experiences for their students. and also scheduling Zoom meetings and trying to find creative ways to interact with their students socially as well as academically.
School buildings have been closed through the end of the year. When they open, which officials hope will be on schedule in August, Crosby says the disruption to students' academic progress will be apparent.
I think it's going to be unavoidable that there will be some remediation needed, largely because of the differing capacity for being able to access online learning. You know, we have groups of students, whether by geography or socioeconomic status, who just can't access the materials in the same way that other students can. And, you know, the home situations vary so much that I think there'll definitely be a need for some remediation practices when school goes back.
How will students be evaluated?
That's going to be a case-by-case basis, and students are going to have to potentially be diagnosed when they return to school and to just try to determine what the learning loss is. You know, students experience a certain amount of learning loss just over a summer break, and so this is, I would imagine, going to exacerbate that learning loss since the period of time is so long.
Crosby hopes that after this pandemic, teachers will be more appreciated as they were in the past. Michael Heplin, KUAR News.